Welcome to the Angus Table, the podcast from Angus Australia. I'm Scott Wright, the CEO at Angus Australia. Each episode will bring conversations with breeders, industry leaders, innovators, insights, stories and ideas that matter and hopefully add value to your Angus operation. Whether it's genetics, markets, pasture management, marketing experts or people shaping the breed, this is where the Angus community pulls up a chair at the Angus Table. Thanks for joining us. Well, welcome to the Angus Table today. We always have special guests, but I feel like today's is a bit unique. We have Jess Dewar from Western Australia on the line today. Welcome to the Angus Table podcast, Jess.
Thanks so much, Scott. Thanks for having me.
An interesting podcast, this one, because Jess is connected in a variety of ways, but it's a Western Australia-themed podcast today. Jess and her husband, Joe, purchased about 6 years ago a very influential stud from Western Australia from Jim and Pam McGregor, who are life members of Angus Australia. So they've been commercial Angus breeders. They're now stud operators taking on the legacy of Jim and Pam. Jess is also the editor of the Western Australian Angus News, which quite uniquely in the Angus community around Australia is a really great publication that comes out of the estate group. She's a volunteer, very active volunteer with Western Australia Angus, and she, I believe, assists others with their marketing efforts of Angus cattle. So she's got a great helicopter view of the industry. And then most recently, really special that Jess was selected this year to be part of the Gen Angus program. So yeah, welcome to the table, Jess, and we're going to have an interesting story this morning.
Thank you so much. It's really humbling to be introduced in that way, Scott, because at the end of the day, you know, I'm just someone very passionate about Angus cattle and the people behind it in our incredible state.
Oh, wonderful, Jess. Jess, let's kick off by, could you give the listeners a little bit of an overview of the Western Australian Angus industry and maybe perhaps how it differs a little bit from the eastern states?
Yeah, certainly. So Angus cattle in Western Australia predominantly concentrated in our southwest with more opportunity of pushing into those rangelands. It's a very underdeveloped market up there, but Angus are the dominant breed by far in our southwest. You know, 44% of cattle in Western Australia are Angus. And I guess the point of difference is we work on a smaller scale to the eastern states. So we've got very limited processors and exporters, you know, which can make marketing challenging, especially in those tougher seasons. Another point of difference is we don't really chase the IMF in Western Australia because we are already supplying processors with more premium product than they can basically poke a stick at. Also, our processors over here tend to prefer lower carcass weight. That's just their preference. But we feel that this is definitely changing to align more with what is happening in the East.
And Jess, from what I understand, you've got a little bit more of a domestic market focus from Western Australia, which is perhaps why some of those differences come about. Is that correct, Jess, do you think?
Yeah, certainly. We do have a big focus on domestic, but we are also quite strong in the export sector.
And Jess, more recently, you've had one of your Western Australia operators, Harvest Road. They've got a full supply chain now. And it might be 18 months ago or 2 years ago that I heard it, or I came over to one of your meetings. We had a very good talk by the general manager of Harvest Road. They're also, I believe, a significant operator for your Angus industry specifically over there, aren't they?
Yeah, correct.
So you've got a huge geographic distance between your members from Esperance in the east, which is probably 8 hours drive from Perth, and Sudlow's up in the north, Geraldton sort of area, and down to this quite southwest corner. You've got probably the largest geographic spread in Australia, don't you, Jess?
Yeah, absolutely. So in the sort of up north in the Midwest to the southeast and in the Goldfields Esperance region, there's some 1,200 kilometres between the most northern stud in Western Australia and then the most southeastern stud in Western Australia. So, yeah, huge in the way of the geographical spread, absolutely.
Yeah, amazing. And Jess, do you hear, often studs are a bit careful with the information they share with one another, but are you hearing much chatter about bulls being sold up into the southern rangelands and Kimberleys further north, Jess?
So, to my knowledge, Angus are yet to infiltrate the Kimberleys and the tropics. There is definitely a concerted effort to push Angus genetics into the rangelands, what we call our pastoral region. It's early days in a lot of ways for blacks on the stations. So we're just trying to nail down what genetics really suit those conditions. But yes, I do know that Angus genetics are being pushed into the Pilbara goldfields areas.
Excellent. Yeah. And it's a really important market for Western Australia. There's a lot of those cattle come south to be finished, as I understand it, as well. Just to talk about your Western Australian Angus community a little bit there. I'm always really delighted when I see the group come together. People travel a long way to your meetings in Perth, don't they? I think you'd probably be fair to say you'd have one of the most cohesive Angus groups in Australia, and always humbled that they travel so far to a meeting. It's a special group, isn't it, Jess?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we've got members down in Esperance, and you know, that's a plane ride up to Perth to join these meetings. And you know, those who are traveling from further north, you know, they're traveling 5 hours to attend meetings in person. So I really feel that, you know, that's special in itself, that people are actually willing to travel to ensure that, you know, what we're doing in Western Australia continues to grow.
Yeah, that's wonderful. What do you think makes that community quite strong, Jess? After you've sat on that committee a few years now, what do you think it is that makes it so cohesive?
We're a very diverse group. You know, we've got some very experienced members. We call them, you know, veterans of our breed. And then we've also got, you know, that pairing with some great new young members, you know, coming through, often off their own back, because, you know, they're seeing what we're doing as a committee, and they just want to get involved. We're a very collaborative, warm, welcoming group. And probably one of my favourite phrases to say is, you know, our committee, we just run like a well-oiled machine. I say it time and time again, but, you know, I guess another thing that we do is we really encourage people to become members of WA Angus, you know, the committee. We give everyone an opportunity to voice their opinions. We stick to our one common goal, and at the end of the day, that is to promote Angus in Western Australia. And we as a committee, we don't get caught up in the politics. So I think that's a big point of difference for us.
Yeah, excellent. Could you, just for the outsiders, just maybe explain a couple of things that you do as a committee that are quite successful? You've got, maybe you could just give us a quick outline of your WA Angus News. And for those listeners, before Jess describes that, it's a publication that the Western Australia Angus Committee put together twice a year, and fantastic little publication, largely voluntary by nature, supported well by the members. It's always held up as the gold standard in terms of Angus groups around Australia when we have affiliated Angus group meetings. And you have regular meetings too, Jess, and you've got a spring walk. So maybe if you just give us a little bit of an outline of some of those activities.
Yeah, certainly. So WA Angus News publication, which was fondly known as Black Male, began in the 1980s. And it has been a publication that we produce every single year since 1989. So it has been a very long-running publication, you know, 37 years of this, you know, newsletter or magazine publication is pretty
incredible. That's
incredible,
Jess. That's certainly a very long time for largely a volunteer-based group to continue. That's fantastic.
Yeah, correct. And you know, you made note at the beginning of the podcast here, Scott, about Pam McGregor. She took the reins of the WA Angus News newsletter for 17 years. So I think that's really important to note as well. You know, I took the role over in 2021, 2022. And, you know, my goal has just to grow, you know, the content that we put in the publication from strength to strength, and also to grow our readership as well.
That's tremendous.
Another big part of what we do at a committee level is we really try and help out the next generation. So we're pretty great advocates for Angus youth. You know, we sponsor the WA Youth Cattle Handlers Camp, which is a huge event. It's essentially a mini Angus Youth Roundup that we hold over in Brunswick each year, or that we sponsor, sorry. And we sponsor two youth, you know, with a bit of a scholarship to attend either Tocal or the Roundup. And during that process, you know, these young people, you know, 100 young people attend this event each year, and it's just growing from strength to strength. So to give, you know, some youth the opportunity to sort of go bigger again is incredible for us.
Yeah, excellent. Jess, you've got a couple of really interesting programs there in WA. One is your heifer competition, and then you've got your spring walk. First of all, would you like to just explain about the heifer competition, Jess?
Yeah, sure. So that's something that we do in collaboration with the Farm Weekly. So that's our major rural newspaper over here in the West. And that gives the Farm Weekly readership the opportunity to actually win 10 Angus heifers. It's a huge promotion for Angus in Western Australia leading into the bull selling season, because it kicks off in November and then the competition closes in February. And, you know, this competition receives 21,000 plus entries. So it just goes to show, you know, how good the prizes are. And it's also an awesome way, to just get Angus front of mind heading into bull selling season.
I think it's just a fantastic competition, Jess. I'm always a bit blown away by the number of entries that you get. It's just so well supported, and the weekly get behind it. And it's just a great way to put Angus front and centre of the whole farming community in WA, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a huge program. You know, on average, we've got about 41, 42 Angus enterprises who sponsor the Win 10 Heifer Angus competition. And then the Farm Weekly, who are very accommodating with keeping this competition up and running, because, you know, they are really driving the promotional side of it. So, yeah, we definitely give thanks to them as well.
Excellent. No, that's great. And then, Jess, another part of your group activities is your spring walk as well in September. Can you tell us a little bit about how that operates?
The spring walk is one of the best opportunities we have to get the W Angus community together. This year, we're actually visiting the Coogee Downs feedlot, which is part of the Harvey Beef Harvest Road business. You know, we feel it's important to look at the beef supply chain. So this spring walk is open to all WA members of Angus Australia. You know, we'll have guest speakers. It's a great way to connect. You know, after a few years of the spring walk going into a bit of a hiatus, first of all, due to COVID, and then our huge focus on the World Angus Forum, you know, with time and money. It's fantastic to see the event back, and we're expecting it to be a really great highlight of the year. And we are planning for the spring walk to take place around September. We're just finalising dates at the moment.
Oh, that's great, Jess. I've long heard about this, and it's a great opportunity for people to come together and get members starting to think about their bull purchases early in the new year. And Jess, you meet regularly, don't you, as a committee? Often it's at I think the meetings are nearly always at the showgrounds in Perth there. How often do you meet as a committee?
Yeah, so we've got three committee meetings every year. With those meetings, we have about 10 to 15 people meeting face-to-face. And then we also for the opportunity for members to jump on via Zoom. So we generally pick up another five or six with that. And then we also have our annual general meeting in January. And we like to sort of pair that with a sort of a workshop to sort of bring the whole day together.
Excellent. Yeah, no, it's a good day. If there's many people haven't been along, it's a very cohesive group. I've really enjoyed when I've been there. The last two, I haven't been able to attend, and I had an accident this last year and wasn't able to fly when the meeting was on. But you certainly got a really tight group, really, in some ways, being one of the smaller Angus population states, but you really punch above your weight in terms of getting that committee together. Jess, you, on the back of that, you had a very active presence at the Angus Expo with the World Angus Forum. I had a little smile to myself. You're the furthest away group, but you had the WA tent, you had a cracking group of volunteers and always a heap of people on the stand and had great conversations. What was that like from your perspective as a WA breeder, Jess?
That was that was essentially 2.5 years in the making, you know, our committee getting together at those meetings and really trying to nut out what we wanted to gain from the Angus Expo and the World Angus Forum. We even set up Zoom calls quite frequently, to be honest, because obviously there was a lot to organise. And being so isolated in Western Australia, we really had to take the reins and guide the ship, if you will. So, yeah, our presence at Angus Expo was incredible.
It was a real credit to your group. Just the enthusiasm was quite something to behold. I don't think anyone could have walked past just the end without hearing about Western Australia Angus, which was great.
Yeah, certainly. We're still receiving feedback to this day. So, yeah, it just goes to show the impact that we had, and that's essentially our primary goal over at Expo for sure.
And Jess, you put together a guide for visitors to be able to understand the Western Australian Angus community. Do you want to describe that? And at the end of the podcast, we might just revisit that, because it's a good resource if people from the east are looking to go to WA for look at some of your genetics. But yeah, just tell us a little bit about that guide you put together, Jess.
Yeah, sure. So as a committee, we thought it would be an incredible idea to put together what we call the Welcome to Western Australia Directory. At the time for the World Angus Forum, you know, it was directed at international visitors, but it is absolutely a very useful resource for those over East and New Zealand, you know, hoping to see what we do in the West. So I set the directory up as a sort of north to south to east geographical directory. So it really gives readers the opportunity to have a look and see where we actually are and then to plan their visit around that. I also included, you know, tourist destinations close to these enterprises. So you can really plan a whole trip based on this directory. And I have received feedback from, for example, a semen company over east who actually utilised our directory to figure out where they were going to navigate their trip to Western Australia to visit some studs. So that was incredible feedback. Yeah.
It's as credit to you. Now, you largely did the work behind that, Jess. You got a good crew behind you as well, good other volunteers. And you also put together the Western Australia Angus News. How do you go about doing that as a volunteer, Jess? What do you include in that publication?
Yeah, sure. So with the W Angus News, yes, I do coordinate it, but I've got a really great team within the committee. You know, we've got a W Angus News subcommittee. Again, Pam McGregor is on that committee, and she can be a bit of a guiding light for me. She definitely gives me industry insight and, you know, stories that she feels that our readership would really enjoy and get a lot out of.
And you do a twice a year publication, just a winter and a summer edition?
Yeah, it's a biannual publication. You're spot on there, winter, summer.
And if somebody from the east is a bit interested in receiving it, Jess, how would they go about getting a copy of that one?
Sure. So just getting in direct contact with myself, always happy to grow the readership. It is a free publication and it is a pretty incredible magazine to receive. Looks pretty good on your coffee table. And we are definitely trying to grow it. So, you know, this magazine is pushing 60, 70 pages now. So quite useful.
And that is great. And you get pretty good support from your breeders, don't you, with regards to advertising to make that possible?
Yeah, so the advertisers are definitely a driving force behind the success of the W Angus News magazine. We haven't had a shortfall of this publication, you know, to produce it for quite a while now. And that really goes to show, you know, the advertisers are putting a lot of trust in our publication because it is a very targeted magazine. It goes to, you know, Angus breeders across the state, but it's also going into the east, New Zealand, and it's also gone international as well.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah, I know when we have the affiliated groups, as I mentioned earlier, it's always held up as the gold standard. There's two good publications, Angus Pro and New Zealand are a great publication as well, but most certainly there's really interesting articles and it's a great way to connect with your commercial audience in WA. How do you balance the time commitments that you've got, Jess, with putting this together and your farming business? Is it, I imagine some days are a bit of a struggle.
So, you know, my role with the stud at the moment, you know, I'm a stay-at-home mum, so I've got two young boys. So a lot of my role within the business has been the marketing side of it anyhow. You know, I produce our annual bull sale catalogue. I do a lot about advertising and marketing and social media. So the W Angus News was just another outlet for my creativity. And it really gives me a purpose within the industry that I'm so, you know, I'm incredibly passionate about it.
That's excellent. Jess, on that, it's a good segue into your own farm operation. Could you tell us about your property, your farm operation, which is some of the enterprises and how Angus fits into it? I understand that you're about an hour and a half north of Perth on the coast. Sounds like a pretty good part of the world.
Yeah, it's a beautiful spot to be. We're located in the central west, near a coastal town called Gilderton. As you said, an hour and a half north of Perth. We also have country to our south and to our north, so some 400 kilometres between the north and south properties. We are a family-run operation. We're running seed stock and commercial Angus cows, supplying bulls mostly to local breeders and also feeder steers and heifers, with some bred cows, heifers, seasonal dependent. The Ardcannie Angus Stud is definitely the core of who we are and what we do. You know, we've been breeding cows a very long time. It's what we like to do. So our family have been breeding beef cattle since 1835.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's almost when they got off the boat in Western Australia. That's certainly a long time, Jess. Yep.
Correct. Yeah. A couple of years after they got off the boat at Augusta, they trekked up to Gingin, where they pioneered, and we are still in that region to this day.
Fantastic. And do you have a cropping enterprise as well, Jess, or is it all beef cattle?
No, we also grow grain and hay, and we run a merino sheep flock as well. So quite a good range of diversity there. You know, when one market is slightly softer, the other is usually, you know, a little bit more profitable. So we've been able to balance the business in that respect.
Excellent. And what are some of the challenges that you face there in that climate? Are you a dominant winter rainfall zone, I guess, in that top end of the cropping belt? What are some of the particular challenges you face there, Jess?
Yeah, so the growing season in Western Australia is very, very short. You know, we've got a very short window to make it work. We only get one shot at it. So that is definitely a challenge for us.
Now, Jess, with regards to Western Australia cattle, and it might be a sensitive question, but how do you feel they differ, good, bad, or otherwise, from what you see on the eastern states? You made just a comment before that there's probably a less of an emphasis on marbling or intramuscular fat. Is there some other differences that you see over in the west?
Yeah, so the cattle in the west predominantly have a larger frame. I guess that's just due to the greater spread and the size of farms over here. You know, these cattle have to walk the distance. So I would definitely say we put a great emphasis on cattle with that sort of medium to larger frame. And we also place a huge emphasis on foot structure. The soil over here can be quite unforgiving. So, we definitely place a huge emphasis on foot structure.
Okay. Yep. No, that's certainly some of the messaging that I've heard over the time. Jess, yeah. You were recently one of the participants on our Gen Angus program, which is one of our great programs at Angus Australia that we're very proud of. What motivated you to apply for Gen Angus, Jess?
I have seen firsthand the impact that this program can have on people. You know, my husband was involved in the 2024 cohort, and he still speaks so very highly about, you know, what the Gen Angus, what it can do for those really wanting to step up within their business. You know, there's a whole lot of emphasis on the sort of younger generation, but there wasn't really anything for, you know, that 18 to sort of 40-year-old area. So definitely my husband certainly motivated me to apply for this. You know, I touched on before, you know, seeing firsthand just the confidence that he gained, the networking. You know, he still speaks to those within his cohort to this day. You know, they hold a Zoom meeting every month.
That's fantastic. It's Joe, I got to know Joe a little bit, and he's a great fella, and he's a very enthusiastic participant at Gen Angus. And that cohort that went through, they're very close, aren't they? As you said, they continue to meet each month, and they encourage one another most definitely. Jess, and listeners might be aware that when we have applicants go for GenX, and I'd encourage, it's a good time for me just to put it out there. It's a program that really seeks to grow younger people in business and their career growth. It's generally about it's 3 days intensive at a location around Australia and New Zealand, and we cover a range of topics. But in credit to Jess and Joe, we actually de-identify the application, so we don't know in the first round when we go through and we look at all the applications, we don't actually know who the people are that we're reading the application. So it's a credit that both Joe and Jess have got through to the program. Jess, what you went through the process of applying. It's a bit intensive, very competitive. So we get over 50 applications for 12 positions. What would be really, looking back at the program, some of your biggest takeaways or biggest advantages that you got from the program?
Hands down, the networking opportunities, that we receive from this program. We're all of, similar ages, all trying to achieve that common goal, and that is to, better our personal lives and also our business.
Oh, that's a common theme, actually, I hear every year is the cohorts always talk about the networking and the friendships, the long-term relationships which they create on the course. So that's not a great surprise to me at all, that you would say that, Jess. What about some of the talks? What would have been one or two of the talks that really stood out to you?
Definitely for me, the one on DISC profiling. So that gives us an insight into the type of person that we are and the type of leader that we are. And it also gives us, I guess, a bit of perspective on looking into why people are the way that they are can really help with, our communication styles and just sort of adjusting those to suit who we are speaking to. That was certainly one of the talks that I gained invaluable experience from.
It's a really good session, that one, isn't it? To help us understand about ourselves and how we're built, I suppose, and how we operate with other people. It's always very confronting. You've also got that mindset work, which leads into that. Any other talks, Jess, that some of our listeners mightn't be as familiar with the program? Was there other talks as well that you got some good lessons to take home?
Yeah, certainly. So to name drop here, we had Chad Taylor from Mumblebone Merinos over in New Zealand. His talk was absolutely incredible. It was a sheep operation, but as beef producers, a lot of us could certainly take a lot from that.
Chad from Mumblebone is a wonderful seed stock operator, and I don't think it matters sometimes what species we're breeding as a seed stock industry, but he wears his heart on his sleeve, doesn't he, Jess? And he gave a lot of good information then that you could apply to really any industry. What were some of your take-homes from Chad?
I guess just the importance of having off-farm income and the importance that that can have within a business. But he spoke about his wife's role within the business. That's something
Oh,
that I
yes.
really, I struggle with being, the stay-at-home mum, the sort of farmer's wife role at the moment. We've got the two young boys. So he really shared that.
Very close couple, aren't they? They're very supportive in different ways. They dovetail with each other very, very well, don't they? And I'm guessing just that'd be pretty inspirational for someone like yourself, where you and Joe also got your different aspects in the business.
Yeah, I guess just hearing from Chad about what his wife's role is within the business. Sometimes within our family business, being the stay-at-home mum, I don't get out into the cattle yards as much as I did prior to having kids. So just hearing, the importance of her role within the business, being more of sort of that real homemaker, making sure that that's all running smoothly, making sure that there's fresh scones on the table when there's guests over, that sort of thing is also very important. And yeah, it just really helped me gain a bit of perspective into my role at this point in time, what I'm doing. It is important. So just having that welcoming home for people to come into.
That's fantastic, and it was certainly I listened to the talk as well. I go in and out of the GenX program a bit, but he was very endorsing as of his family and the support that he has, and It's very interesting that the different members of the family have got different complementary roles in that business. So, yeah, certainly very encouraging. Jess, also part of the Genetics program, you've got a mentor, which is great. Is that something you're looking forward to, Jess? And how do you think that might help you?
Yeah, sure. I feel the mentoring component of Gen Angus is incredibly important. The inception of the mentoring, if I'm not wrong, started last year in 2025. And
that's
they brought
correct.
It back for they brought it back for 2026. So I'm incredibly grateful for that. You know, people spend a lot of money to have a mentor and we're essentially getting one for free. So I've actually got Simone Bond from South Australia. She is the Angus Australia Vice President, and she also serves as the board rep for South Australia on the Angus Australia board. So, you know, Simone to me, since receiving her contact details, you know, I'm speaking with her almost daily. I have Simone as a bit of a sounding board for me at the moment. I like to chat to her and, you know, bounce ideas off.
That's fantastic, Jess. That's really encouraging to hear, actually. Simone's one of the great dynamic directors that wears a heart on her sleeve as well, and she contributes a lot to our board and our boardroom discussions and the organisation generally. And I guess in some ways you'd probably have quite a bit of similarities, Jess, as well.
Yeah, we have discovered that we are quite similar. We actually had a laugh last night. I was on the phone to Simone for about 45 minutes. We definitely touched on how similar we are. And we certainly thank Nancy for, you know, the time and effort that she's put into matching us up with our mentors. I think she's done an incredible job.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's really good to hear. Jess, if you don't mind me asking, I notice each of the Gen Angus cohorts, they have quite a cohesiveness about the group. How quickly did the group come together this year? Just for those on the outside that might not be aware.
I would definitely say within the first day. We had a team building exercise basically first up that Monday morning, and that really set us up for the week ahead. You know, people were quite vulnerable and they really shared the ins and outs into their personal life. And I feel like that really set us up for success.
That's great. That's really what we want to hear. And I looked from the outside looking in, and all the groups do come together. Sometimes it takes a few more days, but this group seemed to come together really quickly. Jess, would you encourage other Young Angus members to apply? Yeah, what would you say to a young person thinking about whether they should put their hand up or not?
I'd absolutely encourage people to apply for Gen Angus. It's one of those opportunities that gives you a real insight into the Angus breed and the wider beef industry as a whole. It connects you with breeders and like-minded young people who are all passionate about the future of the breed, and they're all at the sort of same level in their business or personal life. Mm-hmm. It's also a great way to build confidence and knowledge early on in your career. You know, you're exposed to different operations, different ideas from across the country and New Zealand, the different way that we do things. That I feel like that really helps shape the way how, you know, we think about cattle and the industry moving forward. I've touched on this before, but the networking side of Gen Angus is huge. That certainly cannot be underestimated. The relationships you build through these programs often last well beyond the program itself. And you end up with a really strong support network across Australia and New Zealand. So for me, anything that really encourages the next generation to get involved within our industry, you know, asking those questions, being able to back themselves, yeah, is really worth getting behind. And I feel like the Gen Angus program really just does that.
That's great feedback, Jess. We appreciate hearing that. It's quite a substantial program that we put on, and we need to just explain to the listeners too, we've been very supported by ACMA Insurance, and they're great partners in the Gen Angus program. We've had a lot of people go through the program now, and yeah, that's great feedback. Jess, I think it's real credit to the founding people that came up with the idea, and hopefully we can keep it going into the future. So no, thanks for the endorsement. Jess, just a little bit of a couple of personal questions. Can you tell us a little bit about your background, Jess? And you come from Perth, and how did you, what's the transition been like to the farm?
Yeah, sure. So, yeah, I grew up in the city. I worked in retail management for about 8 years. I have always had a passion for the country. I've always sort of been drawn to that, each RDO or day off, I was always well and truly out of the city. I was very much into my hiking and surfing at that point in my life. So, yeah, certainly getting out of the city and into nature, if you will, was certainly a huge part of my world. My transition into agriculture came through meeting my husband back in 2018. And then I shortly moved out into the country 6 months after Joe and I met. So I guess the transition for me wasn't a huge transition because obviously where we are up in Gilderton, being an hour and a half north of Perth, I didn't sort of have that isolation that many do in rural Australia. So the transition for me, I guess, was easy. And I've definitely taken moving up here in my stride. And yeah, love every minute of what the country life can give to myself and also, our boys as well.
That's fantastic, Jess. It's the great you're so enthusiastic towards the farm and the Angus breeding, your family there. And interesting, if anyone's had anything to do with retail management, it's a pretty good grounding for life, isn't it, Jess? You learn a lot of skills in that retail environment of managing people and expectations, customers, marketing. So I imagine there'd be a lot of life lessons you'd transition well to your current business.
Yeah, certainly retail management really gives you a solid grounding in business and sets you up for how to communicate with different walks of life, if you will. The customer service, communication, managing people, problem solving on the go really sort of molds you or has molded me into the person I am today. I think any experience when you're dealing with people, making decisions under pressure and being accountable for results really sets you up for the future, regardless of the industry, that you end up in.
Yeah, I would say that's right. And you still got to make a dollar and deal with tricky personalities along the way. So I don't know, it's certainly a great grounding for all of us in business, I believe. You're obviously very busy, Jess. You've got a number of hats you're wearing all the time. How do you stay motivated balancing the farm business, committee responsibilities, you're publishing with the WA Angus, your sort of leadership roles in the committee? How do you stay motivated yourself, Jess?
This is going to be a common theme during this podcast, and I'm always going to come back to the people. And I'll also touch on a phrase that we heard over at Gen Angus when we went on a farm tour to Timor Creek. And a phrase that we heard over there was, "Cattle are the product, but the people are the purpose." So, on face value, that seems like quite a basic phrase, if you will. But if you sort of dive deeper into what that actually means, the people are the reason why I do what I do. It is certainly busy at times to juggle this workload. But I think a lot of it comes back to enjoying what I'm involved in and what I'm passionate about, because I am genuinely passionate about the industry and the people in it. The different roles don't always feel like separate jobs. They all sort of link back to the same goal of supporting and growing the Angus breed in Western Australia. The farm is obviously the foundation of who we are, and that keeps me pretty grounded. The committee work and the WS News give me a broader perspective on the industry and what's happening across the state. And that really helps bring fresh ideas back into our farming business as well. The motivation probably comes from seeing the impact from what we're doing. Whether it's the sharing of stories through the publication, contributing to the committee decisions, or just seeing progress in our own herd, that's what definitely keeps me motivated. And I think it's also about the good people. The Angus community is full of people who are passionate and supportive, and that makes it easy to stay engaged even when things are busy and tough.
When you were saying about it's the cattle that brings us together, it's really about the people. It sort of resonates pretty closely with my line of work too. Just so I feel that's why we're here, to try and make an impact on people's lives and you know, the profitability of their farming enterprises. And we just have this wonderful Angus community, you know, always stunned around Australia and the depth of that community. Our new president, Peter Collins, often talks about the Angus community, the Angus family being pretty special. And you'll smile at this, but a recent health incident, Jess, but I actually had Angus members come to the Ballarat Base Hospital and visit me at hospital. They're just very special people. And it was very heartening for me. You work away hoping you have an influence, and when you have those connections, obviously it's really impactful. And it was pretty humbling for me. Jess, where do you get your information and ideas? Some people are book readers, some people are podcasts. Yeah, where do you get your inspiration from?
So my mind, I like to put it as, it's like a hamster on a wheel. I am constantly thinking of, you know, different ways to promote Angus in Western Australia through the WS News publication. I'm probably not someone who relies on one main source like books or podcasts. A lot of my inspiration actually comes from conversations with people in the industry, you know, breeders, whether that be seed stock or commercial, and just hearing, you know, what's working, boots on the ground, essentially.
Yeah, I can see that in you. Is there been particular people, and I'm guessing Pam McGregor might be one of those from some of our conversations that impacted you. Yeah, who are some of those people that might have played a pretty pivotal role in getting you to where you are today?
Absolutely. Pam McGregor is at the top of my list for, you know, someone who I hold a great deal of respect for. Pam is the type of person that has all the time in the world for those who are wanting to seek information, certainly about the Angus breed, but, you know, life in general. She's an absolutely incredible person. Yeah, I've just been lucky enough to grow quite close to Pam. Obviously, purchasing the Eye County Angus stud off Jim and Pam McGregor back in 2020 has certainly got us formed quite a special relationship. Another person for me, I have to say, is obviously my husband. You know, he is an incredible man, a seventh generation beef farmer. The amount of knowledge that he has within this industry is absolutely incredible. And, you know, me coming in very new, very fresh, very surface level in some ways, you know, he really, yeah, just gives me a lot of time, who's really helped shape my journey within the industry.
Oh, yeah, no, that's very heartfelt and really, really good. Jess, another question to follow on from those people have been very significant to you. What sort of personal values do you hold and principles do you bring to your work and your volunteer roles, Jess?
For me, a big one is just doing things properly from the get-go and really following through on what I say I'm going to do. You know, if I say I'm going to do something, I like to make sure it gets done and it's done well. I really think that's important in both business and volunteer roles because, you know, people are relying on that. I also place a lot of value on honesty and transparency. In agriculture especially, there's a lot of decision-making that impacts other people. So being open and straightforward and willing to have that open, honest conversation is really important. Also having a deep respect for other people's perspective is definitely another one that I value deeply. Touching on the geographical spread of Western Australia, you know, what happens in the top end to the south is polar opposite. So, you know, the Angus community is made up of a wide range of breeders and producers. You know, we're all doing things slightly different. And I think there's just a lot to learn from that diversity. You know, even if we don't always agree, there's value in listening. And probably the last one is just staying grounded. You know, the farm keeps us pretty grounded, and I think that helps you make better decisions in committee work and industry roles. You know, keeping things practical and focused on what actually works on the ground.
Excellent. That's great. Jess, I guess looking forward, what are some of the opportunities that excite you about the future of Angus in Western Australia? And also, what do you think are some of the challenges that you think the breed will be faced with in Western Australia going forward?
Definitely for me, the challenges facing our breed is certainly, other breeds piggybacking off Angus. What the Angus Australia Society are doing is absolutely incredible. And I feel like a lot of other breeds are really trying to tap in to what, you know, you guys are doing as a society. As we know, copying is the greatest form of flattery. So, you know, I guess we can have, we've got a bit of a chip on our shoulder in that respect. But that is definitely one of the challenges facing the Angus breed. Another challenge is, well, will always be the distance. We're a huge state, so keeping people connected and engaged and feeling part of the broader Angus community certainly takes ongoing effort. We also need to make sure we stay focused on being practical and relevant, ensuring what we do as a committee and industry actually adds value back to both stud and commercial producers, not just discussion for discussion's sake. Like all of agriculture, no matter where you are, there's always the challenge of market and seasonal variability. So helping producers stay resilient and informed is important. I think the opportunities for Angus in WA are really strong at the moment. We're seeing continued growth in commercial adoption of Angus genetics, and that's been greatly driven by, you know, very clear on-farm results through fertility, calving ease, growth, carcass performance. You know, when those traits translate into profitability, producers keep backing the breed. There's also a big opportunity in premium beef programs and export markets. WA is well placed to produce high quality beef for discerning markets, and Angus fits that space really well with consistency and eating quality. Another opportunity is the next generation coming through. You know, there's a lot of young people, progressive breeders and producers who are embracing the data side of it, certainly tapping into those incredible genetics and technology while still keeping a strong focus on the practical outcomes.
That's great, Jess. I was going to ask you, was there a message that you'd like to give to the Angus community across Australia and New Zealand? I feel like you've just covered that really well, Jess. So no, there's some really considered thoughts there. For the listeners might be interested too, just made reference to, you know, sometimes people might call it the imposter, black-hearted imposter programs by other breeds too, trying to piggyback on the success of Angus. And going forward, just a note to listeners, we do have a good program at Angus Australia that we're hoping to roll out with some beef processors shortly, which is verification by DNA. So we've been working hard on that for a couple of years. So hopefully what that'll do is give us good integrity around our Angus beef programs going forward and lessen the impact of people trying to get access to some of those Angus brands going forward and maintain our Angus beef eating quality. So just a little segue there. Jess, personally, how do you relax away from work these days? Do you still surf, Jess, or do you, you've found something else to do in the bush?
Surfing was a huge part of my life. I started when I was 5 years old up until, you know, we had our first child. No, unfortunately, I don't surf anymore. My role as a full-time mum certainly takes up all of my time. But I guess to relax away from work, I'm a real foodie. I love wining and dining, heading to different restaurants. I also enjoy, you know, four-wheel driving and being submersed in nature, even though obviously the life that we have on farm, you know, it is in nature, but I guess it's just different to be, you know, out and about and not have to think about the day-to-day of business for a second.
That's great. Yeah, no, it's great. You certainly got a lot of opportunity in WA to explore the bush and some of your beaches and coastlines and things. So you've got a great part of the world to enjoy the outdoors. I'm glad you said you love going to good restaurants and you're a bit of a foodie. So the next question I ask all of our people on the podcast is what is your best beef eating experience that you've ever had, Jess?
See, look, this is going to throw a bit of a curveball into my answer to that one, because for me, the best beef eating experience is with those who you love. So a summer's night, pulling out the barbecue, great big scotch fillets on the barbecue, you know.
Do you process your own beef on the farm, Jess?
Yeah, we do have a few killers each year, but only for obviously family consumption. Yeah.
We do the same as a family, Jess, and I think there's nothing better than eating your own produce, and you take quite a bit of pride in what you produce. So it's great as a family to be able to enjoy that, and certainly our family does that, and we enjoy that. But yeah, we have some great beef and some great lamb from the farm as well.
Yeah, that's right. It's very family focused for me. The best food experience is simple meals shared with family. You know, nothing fancy, just really good food, really good conversations, and that special times together. That's what certainly stands out most with the experience.
That's wonderful, Jess. And Jess, what's one thing people might be surprised to learn about you as a person?
You know, me growing up into a surfing family is something that people may find, you know, quite interesting about the makeup of who I am. I started surfing when I was 5 years old. That took up a huge portion of my life. You know, 27 years I spent in the ocean almost, you know, definitely every weekend, but when I moved close to the coast, you know, almost daily. So I actually represented Surfing Western Australia over at Nationals in Port Macquarie in 2006. So, you know, a very long time ago, I was in year 10 and I placed second in Australasia, you know, representing Western Australia over there. So that is definitely
something fantastic
that people don't know about me, but that definitely has molded me as well into the person that I am. You know, back in those times, females in the water wasn't really a thing. It's definitely becoming more prominent now, you know, women getting out there and surfing. But yeah, for me, definitely growing up in a male-dominated hobby, if you will, has definitely shaped me into the person I am today. And you could say that that has maybe helped with my communication style around agriculture as well.
That's fantastic, Jess. Real credit to you. That's a lot of years in the water and some really great success. And I'm sure you still enjoy the beach today. So that's quite interesting. We haven't had a surfer on the podcast before, so that's really great. Jess, coming to the end of the podcast now, and just to circle back, got a lot of people from the eastern states and a few internationals that listen to the podcast. What's the best time of the year to come and have a look at Western Australia, Angus?
With the geographical spread of what we have over here, there's always opportunity throughout the year to see the different production systems. But I would say the best time would be spring.
Oh, that's great, Jess. Spring, I've been told, is always good. Is there opportunity for any eastern states people to sneak onto your Angus walk in spring, Jess, or is it a closed book?
There's only 56 spots on the bus, so we may, if there is interest, we may have to look at expanding what we're trying to achieve, I guess. It's like Gin Angus. It's going to be high demand for not many positions, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's great, Jess. No, that's good. That's good. So if anyone's listening and they want to sneak a seat on the spring walk, they should get in touch with you pretty quickly, Jess, I would imagine.
Yeah, certainly. In the W Angus News publication, there will be information in there a little bit more in depth and just on how to, yeah, I guess, reserve your seat. And, you know, for those listening to this podcast, I would absolutely encourage you to definitely jump on our mailing list. As I mentioned before, it is a free publication. It makes a pretty good coffee table book, and it's something that our readership over here refer back to, you know, in the months ahead. So yeah, certainly jump on. You can contact me via email or phone call or message, and I'll be more than happy to pop you on that mailing list database.
Oh, thanks, Jess. No, that's great. And in terms of sales, you're really the first state to kick off the new year with bull sales. So I believe January and February is your season there. Can you just give us the listeners a quick overview if they're looking to come over to some of the sales in WA? Roughly when do they kick off, Jess?
Yeah, the bull selling season kicks off in February and goes all the way through till sort of mid to late March. So certainly during that time would be the best time to come. A point of difference in Western Australia is each stud essentially has their own day for their bull sale. So we never have on the same day two or three, you know, Angus bull sales on any one day. So you can really navigate your way through those sales almost on like a day-to-day sort of basis. They sort of go back to back to back until the season closes, or the bull selling season closes end of March.
That's great. Yes. Okay. No, there'd be obviously a few of our members that would be quite interested in some of those genetics up for sale in the coming season. So no, that's great. Is there anything you'd like to just mention to the Angus community before we finish up, Jess?
I'll put it quite simply, and that is you have to come to the West to see it, you know, to believe it for yourself. WA has some outstanding Angus cattle and very passionate breeders. We're a great welcoming community. We might be separated by a few thousand kilometres, but we're all part of the same Angus family. And I guess I'd just like to say we'd love to welcome more people across to our side of the country and see what we are doing over here as an industry firsthand.
That's great, Jess. We appreciate the welcome from my position as CEO. The Western Australian Angus Group, a very tight group, very committed. They do what they do very well. And I'm sure if there was anyone visiting, you'd be warmly received in the West. And it's quite a unique production system and a really unique countryside. And it's quite different to what we see on the East. So I'd encourage anyone to, if they're interested, to go across to the West, have a look around. Give Jess or one of the committee, Mark Muir or Andrew Kuss, a call, and they can point you certainly in the right direction. Jess, I just want to thank you for coming on to the Angus Table today, our podcast, sharing a bit about your life and your story, your work with WA Angus and WA Angus News. And I just want to thank you on behalf of the larger society for your contribution and your volunteer work, your leadership, and really your enthusiasm for the Angus breed. It's been a pleasure to get to know you, Jess, over the last couple of years. And we really appreciate the time that you put into the breed. And we wish you and your family every success in the future, Jess. And we appreciate your time today.
Thanks so much, Scott. I really appreciate the opportunity to come on today. It's been great to talk about WA Angus and what's happening over here. And, you know, thank you to everyone listening in, you know, from Western Australia, the Eastern States and internationally. We're really proud of what's happening here in Western Australia, and hopefully that has given a bit of insight into our industry and our community. And I hope we can certainly welcome a few of you over to WA at some stage to see it for yourselves.
No, thanks, Jess. And for the WA members, I look forward to coming to your WA Angus meeting at the end of July. And hopefully I can see a few of you in person at that time. But thanks for your time today, Jess. And all the best with the coming season. And hope it's a good one for you and your family.
Yeah, thank you, Scott. And same to you.
Thanks, Jess.
Thanks for joining us today. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Angus Table. We look forward to bringing you more conversations that support your success in the Angus breed and your farming operation. I'm Scott Wright, CEO of Angus Australia, and today's Angus Table podcast is produced by Mel Strasberg. Until next time, all the best.